Voice. Movement. Radio. Woman's. Movement. Radio. Welcome to Woman's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrass. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to women all over the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, we'll be talking about how to be sexy over 60. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, we're going to be talking about how to be sexy over 60. Now, obviously, I can't relate to being in my 60s because I'm in my early 30s, but sexiness, that is something I can definitely speak about. However, our upcoming guest has created a pretty phenomenal business doing just that. Leslie Trail is sexy over 60, and she teaches women 45 plus how to own themselves as they evolve into their higher self. When we return, we will have a nice little chat with Leslie about her business, love, and lifestyle.
The hottest new gel polish just got cooler. Reaction by Gel 2. Color-changing polish that heats up and cools down, transforming your look. 12 temperature-activated colors that evolve with you. For a perfect manicure that strengthens nails, choose Gel 2. What's your reaction?
And we're back now. I am so excited to introduce our guest, Leslie Trail. She is the founder and CEO of Sexy Over 60. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you doing, Jeanette?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well on this snowy morning in Toronto.
I know.
March the 20th, first day of spring.
I know. I was going to say to you that, thank you for being on Women's Movement Radio Show today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, you know, Leslie, I was excited to do the show with you because I wanted for you to define for all of our listeners, what does it mean to be sexy over 60?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. I think what it means to be sexy over 60 is to have that spirit, that youthful spirit, and to be able to keep it going throughout your life. You know, it's really funny. People hit a certain age and they start to feel old. They start to feel that life is over for them, and particularly women. Once they hit those menopausal years where it starts maybe 45 to 50 and they're in perimenopause, and they start seeing the changes within their body. There's so many things that can be done to help you to get over that hurdle. And it is a hurdle. I'm not going to downplay it, and I'm not going to say that it isn't a difficult time in women's lives. But the preparation doesn't just start, you know, in your 40s. The preparation actually can start in your 20s and 30s because it's really a mindset. It's about putting your mind in a place of youthfulness and continuing to focus on that ability to stay interested, to stay excited, to stay vibrant, to really have the interest in what other people are doing, to continue with education, to read, to get exercise, to eat healthy. All of those things, to me, are what get you to be sexy over 60. Once you've arrived, then all those things continue to follow you through it.
Well, how did you start this company?
Well, what happened was last year, actually, I've been doing life coaching for a very long time. It's something that I've been doing for maybe 30 years. At the time when I first started, I didn't realize that it was life coaching. However, now that, you know, people are getting certified and I've become certified, I realize that it actually is a business that it's got a label. I guess I used to call it consulting. So with respect to Sexy Over 60, about a year ago, actually it's a year April, a friend of mine looked at me and she said, just a couple of months before that, she said to me, you know what? She said, You're 64 years old. She said, you're an incredible inspiration, because I work out with her and she's in her 40s. You're an incredible inspiration to other women. I think you really should put something out, put something together that's going to inspire women to look like you do over 60. So I said, well, that's an interesting concept, but I won't even know where to start. Well, it's interesting. You know what happens when you put something out into the universe? The universe always complies. I was driving my car one afternoon, and the name came to me, Sexy Over 60, and I thought, you know what? Why not? Why not? Because sexy is about an attitude. It's about the sense of confidence. It isn't just about being sexy, wearing short skirts, all of those things. So I got in touch with a lady who was doing web design and spoke with her, and together we put it together. I got a woman to put together some press releases for me, and on it went, and I've just aggressively pursued promoting this company to the point where now people are calling me for interviews. People are wanting to connect with me and affiliate with me on the site. I'm getting so many inquiries from women in their 30s and 40s. And I find it interesting because the women in their 30s seem to be so much more aware of the way their bodies, they want their bodies to look. Where sometimes women in their 40s and 50s are at that place where they're stuck. So that's really my target market, is the women in their 40s and 50s, because I want to help them.
Well, I was going to say, I could definitely speak to a woman in her 30s. I told you I'm in my early 30s.
Yes.
And I think it is that when you come over that 20-something hurdle,
mm-hmm.
Because when you're in your 20s, and you and I talked about this in a previous conversation, is that
yes.
You're really trying to define and discover who you are. And then somewhere around your late 20s, getting very close to 30, you start feeling a little bit more, you start defining and discovering really who you are, and you become comfortable in who you are. And
mm-hmm.
then I found when I entered into my 30s, I started owning who I was,
mm-hmm.
like truly
mm-hmm.
owning, and I felt grounded in that. And obviously with all of us, it's still a part of our process, because we're all on this evolutionary process,
mm-hmm.
for those
mm-hmm.
of us that are conscious, I should say,
right.
To that fact. But I think that in the 30s, 40s, it's a good age, because it's like life starts all over again. You and I talked about this, that when
mm-hmm.
you turn 20, it's like a new beginning. It's like being a newborn all over again. And then
right.
you hit 40, it's a new beginning all over again as well.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting, because I think with all the information that's out there, I mean, you know, we're in an information highway now. I mean, it's just, there's so much there for all of us to learn from. You know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, there wasn't the kind of information that's available now. I mean, I really had to dig to find information. I went to an alternative doctor, medical doctor, who was integrative before people even knew what it was. To get information with respect to my hormones and to understand what was happening to me as early as 35, 36, because I had a really difficult time with PMS. So I went to an alternative doctor who was also a medical doctor to investigate what was going on with me, and she put me on progesterone and all of those things that were very, very cutting edge at the time. So now we're in a place where there's so much information available to young women, middle-aged women, to be able to take control of their own lives and not feel that they're, you know, a ship, you're just bobbing around in the ocean without any anchors. There's so many anchors out there. I mean, every day you pick up a magazine, there's an article about how to work with staying healthy, how to balance your hormones. There's people like myself who are out there who have so much information to give from wisdom and having been there. And I think that's the key for me, is that I've been there, I've experienced it. So I've gone through the 20s, the 30s, the 40s.
Exactly.
I'm getting sick of this, the 50s.
Well, you know what it is, and I said this to you before. I find that evolving, because I don't like talking about older, because I don't
right.
mind being older. I think that you are 60 years evolved,
yes.
30-something years evolved. I believe that we get better as we evolve. As
Absolutely.
Opposed to where, and I'm going to touch upon this, we talked about the glorification of youthfulness in Western civilization, like
mm-hmm.
in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's something to learn from our more matured or evolved audience that has been lost, obviously, with the generations that have moved forward, just because of this glorification. How do women, at where you are in life, looking back now, how do you feel about what you see happening with our youth?
Well, I think that with the youth, with what's happening as far as the glorification of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. How I see it is this, is too much is put on the appearance. And this sets young girls up for failure. It sets them up for, by determining their self-worth by what they look like. So, for example, when I was growing up, there was 17 magazine. It was there. We had 17 magazine. And again, it was, you know, some people read it, some people didn't. But now, the glorification with all of these, young pop singers, with all of these, reality shows, with young women injecting, Restylane and Botox into their faces in their 30s, because they think that's what's going to keep them young and youthful. No, I have a problem with that. I think that people have to dig down into their soul. They have to dig down to the root of who they are and discover who they are, because we all have this wonderful light that once we allow it to come out and break out of this trap that we put it in, we have this light that shines, and that's what true beauty is. Now, that might sound cliche, but it's the absolute truth. When you see a woman who's confident, who has very little makeup on, who is dressed nicely, walking down the street, who walks with a sense of pride and a sense of confidence, that to me is someone who's arrived. And that can be a woman even in her 20s or 30s, because they're doing work on themselves. And that's what is missing, is you get these fashion magazines and they're not digging down deep enough into the reality, is that you have to work on yourself, because beauty fades. You know, it doesn't stay with you forever. Your face changes. You go through different ups and downs. So you don't have that same person looking back at you in the mirror. And guess what? No matter what you do in your 50s and 60s and even your 40s, you're never going to look like you did in your 20s. So if you don't have that groundedness and you don't have that rootedness in who you are and being able to appreciate all of who you are, the lumps, the bumps, the beauty, all of it, then that's when the women become lost. That's when they become lost in their 30s and 40s, because they haven't developed spiritually. And I think that is really the key.
Well,
I believe it's the key.
I think a part of that is that one of the things that I see happening, now I'm at that interesting age of, I'm somewhere on the in between, like no longer 20, not 40 yet. So I'll tell you some of the things that I see, and I want to know your opinion on this.
Okay.
I find that the young people, because of the previous generation's liberalism, they don't have the spiritual grounding. They've acquired, and you touched upon this, we've acquired so much knowledge, but there's not the understanding or the application that comes with that knowledge, where someone that's more evolved in their evolutionary process or even at a different stage in life would have attained because of the life experience. Mm-hmm. So I almost find that because of the glorification that takes place in our westernized culture, the youth actually feel that the matured they're crazy. You know, as Jews, we would say, the Meshigener, like you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. I was able to attain success much quicker than you. And they think financial or the material wealth is, that's really success. And the reality is, that's not really success, because true success should be holistic. It should be the embodiment of mind, health, and wealth. So that was one part. And then the other part I was going to share with you is that when you were talking about women not wearing makeup, I actually post many pictures of myself not wearing makeup, and I've gotten mixed reviews with this. Most women like that, but there have been still some women that have said, well, why would you want to go around in your brand, considering I have a luxury brand, not wearing makeup? And I'll share with my response, but I'm interested to hear what your response would be to a woman questioning another woman about not wearing makeup publicly.
Oh, okay. So you want my response to that? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, the way I feel about it is I think that I think that you get to a certain age, like on my website, I've got makeup on, you know, in the photos that I have done. But when I go out during the day, as a matter of fact, I've gone 3 days now without makeup. I don't put it on. I'll maybe put a little bit of blush because I feel that I've arrived, so to speak, and that I have a great deal of self-confidence on that level so that I feel that I look good. I feel that I look good. And I think that's the key, is that you have to feel, and that's to me the optimum word. You have to feel that you look good. And that feeling comes from doing the work of developing who you are, all of your talents. So, you know, your comment about, well, a lot of the young people look at, let's say, the baby boomers, which is the generation that I'm in, is, you know, we're a little bit crazy, you know, peace, love, and brown rice, all of that stuff. We didn't maybe, you know, didn't make money as quickly, didn't, you know, aspire at 30 to be a millionaire or a multimillionaire. The bottom line is money is transient, you know, mm-hmm. and there are very many people who are in the baby boomer generation who have done very, very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's it's a falsehood. But money is transient. It's here one day and gone the next, as we could see from the stock market. All right, it's up and down. That's the way money is. So, but the fact of it is that it isn't about the money. It's about your passion. It's about loving who you are and loving what you do. So if you just approach something from a monetary point of view, then you're not going to be fulfilled from it. That's number one. Number two, when you lose that job or you lose that business, if your entire self-esteem is wrapped up in the financial, then you're going to lose that self-esteem. If your entire self-esteem is wrapped up in what you look like, then as you age, you're also going to find that you're not going to have that self-esteem. So again, it comes back to my point about spiritual development. And when I say spiritual, I'm not talking about religion. Right, exactly. And I want to make that clear to the audience. I'm talking about understanding who you are and questioning your behavior daily, looking and being aware. Awareness is huge. You know, you find yourself in a situation where you may have said something that didn't go over well. Well, why didn't it go over well? Where was it coming from? Was it coming from your lack of confidence, or was it coming from the way it was received by somebody else? Ask them. Ask them how they received that, why they're responding to you the way they are. This is about reaching out into the world and seeing everybody as a mirror. And that's really what I see, growth. I see that, you know, when you look at other people as a mirror of who you are, not that they are your identity, but you see a little bit of yourself in them, that's something to learn from. To learn from an older generation is huge. You know, I just read an article in the Toronto Star this morning about a woman who's 105 years old. 105. And they celebrated her 100th birthday, and I've seen a few of these, and I've kind of posted them on Facebook and whatnot, where these women are in their hundreds. And there was the main thread that runs consistently is joy. Well, where do you find that joy? That joy doesn't come from a beautiful hairdo. That joy doesn't come from beautiful makeup, beautiful clothing. It doesn't come from that great job. The joy comes from within. And once you get to that an older stage, you're not working anymore. You're doing other things. Maybe you're doing charity work. Maybe you're doing another business. You've reinvented yourself. You're going through a transitional period. These are all things that are evolutionary. But the main ingredient for being, let's say, sexy over 60, again, going back to that question, is joy. And you have to embrace joy. You have to be able to get back to that place to find that child within and experience the joy of doing something on a daily basis that gives you that joy. If it's something as simple as taking a walk, going to an exercise class, painting a picture, having a great conversation with somebody, reading a wonderful inspirational poem or a wonderful inspirational book, these are things that people need to weave, I believe, they need to weave into their lives to make their lives complete. So that once they get past that point of making the dollar, they have something else to fall back on, which, guess what, is themselves.
I also think, just to add to what you were saying, mm-hmm. is that I think there's so much power in being present. When you were talking about awareness, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the biggest things that most people have the inability to do right now is because they're constantly having to filter out the noise, even if they're in silence, just by themselves. I was actually reading something that people, meanwhile, they've acquired knowledge and they've acquired wealth and all of these things. We've actually, as people have become less efficient, mm-hmm. in how we do basic day-to-day activities, because we've become so dependent on the instant gratification, like on everything just being instant. It's almost at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've become less efficient at following through on certain processes. So, and that is, I think a major part of that is the noise. And when I'm talking about noise, I'm not talking about the environmental noise. I'm talking about the environmental noise that's going on in your head. And I was talking to moms about this, is that it's not, and Leslie, I don't know if you were a mom, but some of the moms that I've spoken to talk about, sometimes their kids are in the background and they're not even making a lot of noise, but it's the fact that there's so much noise going on in your own head that their noise now becomes magnified, because now it's something else on top of what you're already hearing, because you're trying to find your thoughts.
Well, that's why meditation, I've been a meditator since I was 17 years old, and that's one of the things that I teach to my clients, is I teach them to meditate, and I can teach meditation long distance over the phone, and that filters out that noise. I like to call it the chattering monkey. It is a chattering monkey.
It really is.
It goes on about what he said, she said, they said, the other person said, why they said it, how they could have said it, on and on it goes. So, and what it does is depletes energy. It doesn't allow you to be present, as you said. It doesn't allow you to focus. It doesn't allow you to be involved with your children, because you're off someplace else. And I am a mother. I have two daughters. One of them now is 40, going to be 42 next month, and the other one is 39. And I also have two grandchildren. One is 6 and a half, and the other one is going to be 10 in May. And I totally understand what you're saying, because when I was younger, that would happen, and because I had the meditation skills, I was able to go to that place on a daily basis for 10 to 20 minutes a day and regroup, so that when I was with my children, that I was present, so I did hear them, and it wasn't something that was just their noise, and you know, actively listening to what they have to say, as well as feeling calmer. And that's the key, because oftentimes women, you know, in your age group in the 30s and in their 40s, you know, they're juggling so many balls. They're juggling a job, they're juggling a husband, they're juggling children, they're juggling parents. There's so much going on. And if they aren't focused and they aren't grounded and they haven't found that sense of joy, which you can also find through meditation, then they start to break down. And when they start to break down, the signs are not eating well, the signs are not exercising, the signs are disease, because as we know, disease is just dis-ease, and they become very unsettled with themselves. So, yeah, it's a very, very big thing for women and men as well, to tap into that place of
meditation. I believe, and I'm a strong believer, and that is huge in your day-to-day
existence. Huge.
And I know I was recently doing an interview myself, where I was being interviewed, and I was talking about the importance of doing this. And a lot of people think that, you know, it has to be, you have to meditate for long periods. No, take 5, take 10 minutes, and they don't realize it is, that makes such a tremendous difference. Don't look at it as this long process. Even if you can do, take some time to do visualization while doing meditation. And there's so many different, you can find them all over the website, just different companies or women's coaching companies that have meditation, like that have visualization techniques. Can't speak today, I don't know why. But have different types of applications that women and men can tap into.
Well, I have a meditation break on my website that people can download.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's a 5-minute meditation break. Yeah.
That's great. And so at the end of our show, don't forget to mention that and where they can find that on the site.
Yeah, and oftentimes, too, I mean, you can download these things. And again, I encourage people to download my 5-minute meditation break. However, very often you do need a coach because, again, it's about keeping you accountable. And like everything in life, you know, we do need mentors, and they do help us to put our best foot forward and to help us to achieve the personal success that we want to achieve. And that's what really a coach does, is a coach is a consultant, a coach is a mentor, and a coach is a counselor that helps you focus on what your specific goals are. So if a specific goal for an individual is learning to meditate, then that coach has the ability to keep you present and involved and engaged in that process so that you start to see results. The biggest thing with people is when they don't see results, they give up.
Well, and they have to understand that it's not, and that's where I'm talking about that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Meditation is something that takes time, and it may take, and it depends on the person.
It's
some
cumulative.
People, yeah, and you're exactly right. It may mm-hmm. be for some person they may see results within the first session. For some, it may take months before they mm-hmm. actually start feeling the effects of it. Mm-hmm. And I think meditation is a lifestyle, and it is a choice that you do. Every single day. This is not about, instead of people getting into their mindset, well, you know, I'm doing this in order for it to yield a result. You should just be doing it because your mind, your body, your soul, all of these elements thrive off of this concept.
Well, it's also one of the keys that I know keeps you youthful.
Yep.
Because I've been meditating for 17 years, and I'm 65, since I've been 17, and I'm 65, and I believe that part of the energy and the focus that I have to get to the gym 5 to 6 days a week, work out with a woman in her 40s, and be focused with respect to my health and wellness, and not look at myself as being an aged woman, and just being a youthful, not just youthful in my entire spirit, because that's important to feel that youthfulness. And again, you know, the wisdom is there, but the thing is, you want to feel that you're alive, and that's what meditation does. On long term, it's a cumulative. If you do it for years, then eventually you start to see the results are so accumulative. You see how your face changes, how the stress just kind of depletes from your face, how you find that when you attempt a task that you're far more focused and much more relaxed when you're doing it. When you're with your children, you actually enjoy being with your children rather than looking at it as a job.
Yep.
And just, you know, shooing them out the door to school, throwing the breakfast in their mouth and off you go, rather than sitting there and spending some time with them, talking and making that time so that you know how to schedule your day and you're not feeling rushed, because your day is a natural flow. And this is one of the processes that happens when you are a meditator. I mean, I used to remember that when my children were very young, of course, during the day, it was difficult to meditate, and I had a number of different jobs because at the time I was a single mom. But when I came home and put them to bed, that was my time to look after me, and that's when I meditated. And the results are just, I can't even explain to you the results. They're just huge. And I use a process of color meditation. So my meditation,
color meditation
is a whole lot different than a lot of other people are doing. So they've done studies that color have different responses mm-hmm. to your emotional responses, so that when you focus on a particular color, it gives you a whole different outlook to your daily routine. So it helps you to deal with your life in a different way. And there's many different colors that you can focus on. I also work with shapes. I also work with sounds. There's a lot of things that I work with in my meditation courses that are a lot different from the mainstream.
Maybe.
Because I've been doing it for so long. My background, I was taught to meditate by a Buddhist nun when I was 17 years old. And I went into silent meditation very often, where you're in a environment where you're not talking to anybody but your teacher. And at the time, I wondered, why am I doing this? I've got to be absolutely out of my mind. I'm a teenager. Why am I doing this? Well, later to come to realize, I knew why I was doing it later on, because I teach it. So what I've done is I've incorporated my mindfulness meditation, my Buddhist meditation, together with color meditation and a lot of the other metaphysical and esoteric things that I've learned over the years, over the many years, and I've incorporated them into my meditation practice so that when a person is working with me, they really dig down deep and start to peel off the layers. The layers start to peel away, never to come back again. They're gone. They're just gone. And that, to me, is really important, to not have the same things coming back over and over and over again and repeating the same habit patterns.
Well, and I think happiness. It's emotional. Well, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but even a part of my company, one of the campaigns that I created and strongly support is it was called National Bear Day, which is now International Bear Day, and it's the foundation is emotional intelligence. And I think it's so important for people to understand emotional literacy, emotional intelligence, so that way they're aware of why they do the things that they do and what are those triggers. Because you should be able to read your own emotions as a book, and knowing that this is a reference point. I don't need to do that because of this. And it's so many of these elements that you're talking about around the meditation. The meditation is vital. I believe that is the foundation. You have to get rid of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Or parts of the noise. You're never, as you become better at meditation, you will eventually get to a place of where, and I know that you're probably at this stage, Leslie, because I do this as well. Even in the midst of chaos, you're at peace. It doesn't even matter.
Well, I also give people techniques to use in the beginning, so that I do, in the middle of chaos, yes, I am at peace, but I also give people techniques to do when they haven't evolved to that place.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is, let's say they're in an environment at the office, for example, and there's a conflict and somebody is acting out, bullying or yelling or whatever happens, even in relationship, I give people techniques that will help them to stay grounded, not get involved in somebody else's stuff, and keep themselves in that place of calm. So that they don't get pulled in, so they don't get pulled in to that place of unsettledness and anger, and they're not absorbing it. So I give them the ability to, I give them techniques that they can use that helps them to put up their shield, to be able to actually go into a meditation while they're standing and looking at somebody, so that eventually what starts to happen is that person who's acting out actually becomes very, very funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it works with teenagers, too. I think teenagers are the most challenging time of your life is working with a teenage child, having a teenage child, because they're just out of control most of the time. And sometimes they don't even mean to be. It's because the hormones are raging just the same as they do when a woman goes through menopause. And to be able to be focused and centered and not get pulled into that anger when you get upset with your children is very huge, because it builds long-term relationship with them. So they're not afraid to come to you and talk to you, because they know that you're centered and you're calm and you're not reacting to them acting out. You have the ability to talk to them rather than yell at them.
Well, Leslie, where are you now? Where's Leslie in her evolution?
Still learning and growing.
Good answer.
I don't intend to stop doing that, Jeanette, until I'm gone, which I don't think is going to be for a very long time. I have wonderful genes. My father's 94, and my mother's 91, and I have a grandmother who lived to 102. So I'm not leaving this planet too soon.
That's a good answer. Well, you know, I love that answer, because that's just the truth. And I hope most people will throw off the title of mentor or expert or specialist, because at the end of the day, we're only specialists of our own space. We can't specialize in someone else's space, right?
No, I like that.
It was so phenomenal. I had a great conversation with a friend yesterday, and she talked about that. It's that her exact words is how arrogantly ignorant of us to think that we can specialize in someone else's space. She said, think of it like a toolbox, and that all of us have been given exactly everything that we need to evolve into in this lifetime, to evolve into that person that we plan on being in this lifetime. So
go ahead.
How am I supposed to go into somebody else's toolbox and tell them, oh, I don't like that tool. Maybe you should use this tool. Maybe you should do that tool. Maybe you should do this. And I think there's so much truth to that, because we spend so much time everybody nowadays wants to be an expert in something. It doesn't mean that we can't. I think that we could definitely offer guidance of that being appreciated. But to say that we specialize when we ourselves are still learning, I think that there's a level of humility that comes when you acknowledge the fact that you can only be, you can only govern your own domain.
Mm-hmm. However, sometimes an individual needs someone to help them open that toolbox to see what's in there.
Oh, yes, and that's for sure. And that's where we're talking about with the guidance.
Yeah, that's what a coach does. A coach helps you to open up that toolbox to be able to use the tools that you already have available to you and to make you aware that you have them. Because very often people just don't know how to open up that toolbox, so to speak, and see what they really have. And
for
to be able to enable them to feel confident and to feel joyous about where they how much they do know and where they've arrived and how their life has been molded by what they've done and the positive things that they've done in their life. And I believe that validation in coaching is one of the most important things. And I do that a lot because I really believe that I learn something from every single client that I work with. And when you validate somebody, it really helps them to open up and be more honest with themselves as well as with you. And it also helps them to have that courage and to have that self-esteem to learn more and to move forward. Same applies to children. I mean, validation for children is so very, very important. Very, very important to tell them that they did a good job. You know, I love that new term, and I embraced it when my grandchildren were very, very young. Good job, right? You know, we used to say to our children, "Oh, you're a good girl," or "You're a good boy," right? Well, that has a whole different other connotation to it. But that was what we thought was the right thing to say, right? But when you say to somebody, "Good job," you know that the child looks up at you and they know that they've done something, that they've done it well. And I believe that that's what we all need. I really believe we all need that type of validation. No matter whether we're 3, 4, or 100, we need validation as human beings.
Well, any last words of inspiration for the ladies listening?
Well, I think that really follow your dreams. Don't let anybody stand in the way of you and your dreams. Take a look at yourself and understand that you are unique and that you are a diamond with many facets. And the key is to be able to embrace all those facets of yourself, to enjoy yourself, and to put yourself out there so that other people enjoy you. Don't hide. Be who you are, and everybody will love it.
I love that. Well, on that note, ladies, Leslie, we want to thank you for being on Women's Movement Radio Show today.
My pleasure.
Mom's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Azenstrauss, where we will talk to moms all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of moms who are changing their lives by force.
Thank you, Leslie, for being on our show. She had some really good points, everyone, about owning sexiness at any age. Personally, I love my evolution. And I know this may sound like an oxymoron coming from me, but I think we place way too much emphasis on trying to maintain youthfulness and missing one key factor that life really does go full circle. I've had the privilege at the end of my corporate career to work with the matured as they evolved into their next stage of life. What a wonderful privilege to bear witness to this amazing progression in life. For all of you listening, remember, you've still got it. Operate in your greatness and be passionate about life. I want to thank all of you for listening to Women's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Azenstrauss. Join me here on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WMRN. And ladies, never forget, be informed, be inspired, be incredibly successful. You're now listening to WMRN.